When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pressure than whole, riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's grateful dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Miami Nice. It's 11:47 on a Saturday night. I'm here with my amazing partner in crime, Katie Walsh. Hello, Katie.
Hi, we're back.
We're back after a secret undercover mission, which we will not be talking about. But what we have done is enlisted a terrific podcast host. You would have just heard her as part of the cacophony of voices having too much fun doing the Cinephile Summer, where the crew over at Filmstage enlisted her to be part of their team. While One Heat Minute was Katie and I, Maria Lewis, Alexa Toliopoulos. We've got her from Brightwall Dark Room and a film studies teacher at Brown. It's Veronica Fitzpatrick. Welcome.
Thank you
Miami
so much.
Nice. And what
Thank
I'm going to say
Thank
right
you.
Here, if people didn't know, and I did because I went looking, you submitted to the Sight and Sound poll, and in your top 10 was Michael Mann's Heat.
That's right. Yeah.
That face,
amazing.
That little emoji. That's this, like
the pinch. Kiss,
the little pinch, like ooh,
yeah.
That's what it is.
I was the model for that emoji. Actually, that's what people don't know about me is that I'm actually a hand model for emojis.
Yeah, I'm one of I think like three U.S. critics who put that in the top 10, and yeah. I stand behind it all the way.
Nice.
So you. For folks, if they haven't seen your writing firstly at Brightwall and or listen to the show, you're kind of a erotic cinema aficionado that's in your wheelhouse big time.
For sure.
And
for
I feel like the nexus of erotic cinema and a love for Heat will always bring you into our Venus flytrap of Miami Nice. So
I'm so happy to be here.
We have so many different ways of describing our space, and I just love it when you come up with a new one.
We say that this is the modern man campfire, a very horny modern man campfire, but I feel like if you're a critic who loves Heat and who likes erotic cinema, you're gonna find yourself in the trap of Miami Nice. So what I would say, though, let's start with Heat, and then we'll dive into Michael Mann and all things there. So was Heat like your formative man? Was it something that you like came across and then you really enjoyed it? And it's actually quite refreshing. And I talked to Katie about this quite a bit. It's like being in academia. And I know that Katie has done stints as well, as like people look at mainstream Hollywood cinema a lot of the time with such disdain.
Oh, and totally.
So that when you can find someone who's like genuinely smart and academic, is like, oh, this is really good. You're like, wait, you're not just going to tell me I'm an idiot? Like, you know, it's quite nice to not just be told to go watch the French New Wave again.
Oh my God, yeah, snooze. Just kidding. Love 400 Blows.
Yeah.
So I inherited like a love of action films and thrillers from my mother, who is a huge cinephile, huge James Bond fan. Her favorite movie is From Russia with Love. Which she saw in the cinema like a million times with her brother in the Philippines. And she is someone who watched a lot of like USA Network movies with me as a kid. And I think somewhere in that milieu is probably where I first encountered Heat. And then I came back to it recently, when Museum of the Moving Image in New York was doing their Manly Melodramas of Michael Mann series, and I saw it on 35 there, and I think that they have the best, most immersive, kind of like scarily immersive screening room in the city. And just, it felt like I was being shot, like the entire film, basically. And the saturation on film is so incredible. And I'm a huge sucker for like basically a classical Hollywood dual plot line where you have a kind of like heist or exterior world project of some kind, an operation, people with specialty skills, an ensemble cast of specialty skills people, or a criminal and a cop who are secretly or not secretly in love with each other. I love all that stuff so much. And then to have the kind of interior plot line of a romance, or several romances, as is the case in Heat, is just incredible. And I think Mann is uniquely gifted at sort of fusing those two plot lines with his work.
Haiti, have you done a 35 of Heat? I can't remember if I've asked.
I haven't.
When Veronica was talking about it,
in
Sydney, there's one cinema here, the Randwick Ritz. It's a little, it's kind of one of our two big retro theaters in the city. And the last time I saw it, they've got those old it's a balcony theater. So there's the whole downstairs and then there's the big balcony up top. And I remember sitting on the balcony and it felt like the building was going to fall down when the planes fly in at the end. And I was seeing it with two newbies, and there was me and a friend who'd seen Heat many times before, and I saw it on 35, and the team was all together, and at the end of it, they were like, "That's the loudest movie I think I've ever seen." And I was like, and I was like, I'd been baptized. I'd come out of there. I was out of church. I was like, "Oh my God, that's cinema. Like, get out of here." So I think, and I know that the people who listen to this show are constantly asking, Blake, is it the 4K? Even on our Discord, is it the 4K, Blake? Is it the Blu-ray with the 35 print? And I'm always like, sorry, guys, it's the Warner Blu-ray with the 35 print. If you can't do the 35, that's it. It is absolutely special. And I think something about the mileage, just like our lead actors in that movie, something about the mileage on the 35 on a great, like a great print that has a bit of mileage, nothing better in the universe. So tell us a little bit about Miami Vice and your relationship with it. Because we genuinely don't know. Like, we got to all of us finally meet, and thank you so much to the gang at the Film Stage and Cinephile Game Night for like arranging stuff. So, because we get to meet new people, and I know that we've got lots of mutuals and stuff, but we've never had this conversation. Yeah. I was like, meetings take place on air. So let's just like start chatting. And tell us about your relationship with Miami Nice.
So Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, sorry. Miami Nice. It's a nice Miami Vice. Nice.
It's a short relationship with Miami Nice. I am a huge Colin Farrell fan, and so I was super excited to watch Miami Vice. I have to really concentrate now to say it correctly. Which I saw like way after it came out in 2006. But I was super excited to see Colin Farrell in it. Huge Collateral fan also. I mean, I knew I was going to really love it before I saw it. And it's appreciable to me how Mann is just doing the same thing over and over, I think, in my estimation anyway, which is like always create these really sensual worlds that aren't sleazy, but that are really attentive to like texture and intimacy. And he's so obsessed with romance, broadly speaking, I think, like eroticism between love interests, but also definitely like the should you guys just kiss energy of like two partners, which I just totally love and think is like, all of his films play to me as like kind of friendship films, like male friendship films, which is something I think is really underexplored. So Miami Vice, I mean, I love movies where you can feel the temperature in the way that, like, in this case, the digital, for the most part, is capturing everything. I love Gong Li. Like, what a weird choice.
10 out of 10 choice. 10 out of 10. She's like
totally great.
Does 11 Zhang Yimou films, and then she's in Miami in the chaos. In that absolute chaos.
Yeah, dancing. I mean, what I wouldn't give to see, like, taped live, like, real-time footage of her and Colin Farrell practicing that dance.
I don't know.
There is a video of them practicing. Have you seen it?
I've only seen stills.
They and Michael Mann like gets in there and he's like, "Hey, let me show you how to do it."
I bet.
Yeah. And they rehearsed for like 4 months or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows.
Like, we're gonna send you the link after this. It's like on YouTube. Yeah.
Please do. I mean, the moment when Farrell is like, "I dance," like in the affirmative when asked, I was like, "This is unbelievable." It's like it's actually like shocking how hot the movie is, especially given how sort of little time these characters have to create a relationship with each other.
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit, Katie, around the whole. There is something so tactile about everything that's in this movie, but particularly like, I think in some films, it's hard for them to capture the physical as well as like the implied tension. But like in Miami, everything's hot. Your clothes grab your shoulders in weird ways and they hang on, you know, your clavicles. I don't know what it is. It's just something, it's like it's hot and people are always doing that thing where you're like pulling your shirt out a little bit or like trying to straighten up. And there's just something about that. Like when the tension in this movie ramps up, especially between characters who are interested with each other, the heat, it just gets hotter. So they're all like a jacket comes off and it's sweatier and a button opens and it's like the subtext of that tension becomes text and that. It just like is the electricity is on and you're like, okay, this is live. Everyone don't touch that. You'll get a shock, you know? And that's what it feels like for me when we watch it. Our screenings have devolved in as well.
Everyone's just frothing. Everyone's just like drunk and just like, that dude's hot. Also that dude. That's just me.
Is everyone hot in this movie? Yeah, everyone's hot.
But I think, Veronica, you bring up a really, it's like, we have devoted literal hours to talking about Gong Li and Colin Farrell in this movie and the romance of this movie and we've unpacked every aspect. And you actually have uncovered something new for me, which is that I think the moment where she's like, "Yeah, we're going to do this," is when he goes, "Yeah, I dance." Because he's like, she's like, "Hey, I'm going to take you to Cuba." But she doesn't know if she's going to fuck him then. Mm-hmm. She's like, just like, "We're going to get a drink." And then it's the dance. And she's like, "Yeah, this is going down." So I think that is the little like tip over from like, "Is this happening?" to "Yes, it is." And then all of so much more of their relationship is in the dancing. Like when Jose Hierro is watching them and they give themselves away because their dancing is so charged and heated and hot. That he's like, of course they're, you know, doing it. And so I think that is a good little moment to take note of, that it's the dance itself that that is what is the green flag for her.
You like the mojito?
It was great.
Do we dance?
I dance.
Because he doesn't just dance, he leads, which I think when you look at a woman like Isabella suited up the way that she is, kind of commanding spaces the way that she is, and especially moving through this kind of like money laundering, drug trafficking kind of world, like, it's probably pretty rare that she's in a situation where she's not in control to some extent. And to see him kind of maneuvering her, like, in a physical, spatial way, I think isn't just sort of electrifying and suggestive in the way that dancing together would be in, you know, like a classical Hollywood film where that's being used as a kind of allegory for sex or something. But it's like a real testament to his potency. Feral and Sunny, I guess, both.
When you dance salsa with someone who knows how to lead, there's nothing else like it. It's incredible because you can not know how to dance salsa, but if the person knows how to lead, you're with them. So it's like a very, I don't know the word to use, electric, potent, like you said, it's a powerful drug.
Totally.
I'm going to draw a weird dotted line here. In 2007, a year later, in the Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg written Superbad, they popularized the phrase DTF. I'm down to fuck. She's down to fuck. DTF. And I feel like I Dance might be the original DTF. So if you are DTF and you can say I Dance confidently and can lead a salsa, it's all over. It's a real
it's
weapon.
Over.
You're so spot on. You're so spot on.
And he can hang in that environment. Like, it's a live band. He's in Cuba. Like, he, like, isn't afraid to hit the dance floor. Like, he can hang. And so I think that's also part of the green flag. It's not even the green flag. It's, like, the checkered flag that's, like, go now into my vagina.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I always wonder what the clip of the show is going to be, Veronica. You are a podcast host. I'm like, and you know what? Katie Walsh, she's batting 1,000. She has never missed.
I don't doubt that.
But no, you're right, though, because in that scene, she has completely flipped his comfort zone. So in the previous one, it's like, I know a place. And then he's flying in the boat, so the power looks like it's with him. And she's like, you know, La Baguette de Media, Havana. And he looks at her like, give me that like my passport or my business or my passport. She's like, my hub, you know, my cu-
My harbor master is the cousin.
Yeah, the harbor master is my cousin. Whatever. She's flying along. And in that moment, it's still like, oh God, like this in another movie, a lesser movie that wanted to focus on stupid, that level of stupid kind of procedurals. Like, nah, we're blowing past that. We're getting to the club. And how's the mojito? He goes, mojito's great. And there's still, you're right, in that moment, we're on the precipice. He's still tense. And then as soon as it's like, I dance, that's all over. The movie's different after that.
Yes. Yes.
Totally. But it's not even like, I think, in the hands of man about them necessarily fucking, which certainly does feel inevitable from certain moments of like exchanged eye contact earlier on. But like, it's just so romantic when they're sitting at the bar together. When the Mogwai song comes in at the end of the film and they like have this brief moment together before they separate, I guess forever. When we see these like close-ups of her wet hair kind of stuck to her skin in the shower that they share together. I mean, he's just such a romantic. And I think Colin Farrell is also so believable with his like, I think Manola Dargis called them like his sincere, hardworking eyebrows. And he's just so good at kind of conveying an intensity of attention that honestly, if I ever felt in real life, I would probably combust on the spot.
Yeah.
Just cease to exist.
those eyebrows that were put to good work in Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
Those eyebrows.
Yeah, really good eyebrow work.
Good eyebrows. But of course, Blake, I think you know exactly where my brain went to. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yep. We're not going to talk about Colin's other work on the show this time.
Sure.
There's not enough hours in the day. Sorry, I almost like lost it laughing. I'm like, Manola Dargis, the premier film critic in the world, has salsaed on this show, Veronica. And I just had an image flash in my head, which we've never shared with anyone.
No, that tape is staying in the vault.
The tape stays in the vault. But Manola talking about Colin Farrell dancing and feeling the urge to immediately start doing a salsa herself.
She stood up and started dancing to demonstrate her point.
Wow.
I love her so much.
She's the greatest.
His power.
Yeah. You know?
Such is the power of his hardworking eyebrows. What versions of the film have you seen?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you seen the theatrical like
the theatrical version? Versus the director's director.
Cut? I just was wondering.
I've seen the director's cut. That's, I think, all I've seen.
You have to watch the theatrical cut.
Yeah, okay. The theatrical
because
cut.
Because of the opening.
The opening of the film is just, it hits different.
It slams right. It cuts out the boat race. And it slams right into the numb encore.
The numb encore. Club.
Yeah.
Okay. I have seen this then too.
Yes. Universal logo.
Numb encore.
Numb encore.
I have seen this set too because I remember thinking at the time, well, not only that song is like a banger, unfortunately, but that there's something
You never have. I'm sorry to interrupt. You never have to apologize. On this show. It's a sacred song.
Okay, yes. Super. Okay. There is like, isn't there something really funny about the combination of Linkin Park and Jay-Z as a kind of allegory for the Colin Farrell, Jamie Foxx connection and the sort of like unlikely perfection of them together in the movie?
And the
tension
and the stylistic tension.
Yeah.
One of them coming in is like, the king of that kind of rap, and then this,
yeah.
I don't even know what we called it in 2005, 6 or whatever it was, but like that kind of like modern alt, like
new metal rock.
I hate how we were just like, hey, this is alternative. And then we went insane with Mad Libs to come up with new stupid ways to describe the same thing. But that's Veronica just bringing the heat.
I know. You said something prior, which I think ties into this Jay-Z Linkin Park collab, which is like a lot of man's movies are about male friendships, which is, you know, something that I think we talk about a lot, but also haven't quite honed in on. And it's akin to Martin Scorsese's movies, which are all about homosocial relationships and relationships between men and how women are terrifying.
Totally.
But obviously man has a different approach to women, but those are interesting comparison points to make. Like this, it's about groups of men and their relationships and friendships, and often between just two. There's usually like two primary friends in a Scorsese movie. So those are like interesting to put those guys together next to each other and look at their filmographies through that.
That's so true. I hadn't thought about that, but I mean, I love that Mann like doesn't feel any need to decide whether his movies are going to be about men or about women. And there's no short shrifting. And it's in Heat, but I love the kind of montage where we get all the different women, all the girlfriends and wives, and kind of what's going on with them separately as this kind of like cinematic reminder of what the stakes are of getting this right or of potentially walking away. And I know every Mann film is obsessed with like how you should walk away and you just don't. And so you're fucked basically, and you're gonna lose everything no matter what, except Black Hat. So it's, you know, I just think, it's such a great way to actually value the women, to show how important they are in the lives and kind of networks of intimacy that you see, even as they are so focused on these kind of duet friendships between the men.
And the women socialize the guys in Miami Vice in a really cool way. It's like that, it's that great moment where he's like, they're sort of grunting at each other in the kitchen of the house. And then Trudy walks out in the robe and she's like, "Hey, Sonny." like "Hey, Trudy," and then he's kind of like, "Oh, I have to get out of my own head." I was like, "Oh, hey, Trudy, how you doing, darling?" Like that kind of like, it's just such a small touch, but it's like, yeah, of course, because you're just a Neanderthal that's sitting with your friend who can communicate on the same wavelength as you and do that, and it's like, oh no, actually, I have to be a human being. And that's, I think that's that whole crew. And it's Elizabeth Rodriguez's eyes does that great thing too, because when it becomes at its core, that kind of beautiful human melodrama of like a love triangle with one person who is completely on the outside, is outsized and whatever with Jose. And you see like Elizabeth Rodriguez looking at them dancing together and like, she knows what's up. And then Jose's looking and there's like eyes of awareness, gaze of awareness. And there's the gaze of like jealousy and possession, and it's all those triangulations of those things and those, how the group structures, and that kind of like 90s white outfit album cover still of Miami Vice where they're all sitting in Nicholas's apartment and you can see them all across. It's like, that's the kind of triangulation of all these relationships and the friendships. It's just having the women in there like actually socializing and having a bit of nuance and understanding about what's going on with these characters.
Yeah. It's so cool to see intuition like pictured on screen in that way.
Yes, yes, yes. In many ways. As an educator, spend a lot of time, I imagine, programming for students around this time, like programming different things on different themes on different courses that you're facilitating. And we have recently asked the kind of question, to a few people, like, what's your favorite idea of like a Miami Vice double feature? But I really want to ask you more specifically, if you were programming it, what would your double feature be and why? Like, what, why would it be the double feature if it was like part of a program, if you were trying to teach, you know, like budding film students something, like how would you crowbar the theme? And I think any of us who might have had some experience educating, it's like, I would be doing anything to get Michael Mann on a curriculum. But I'm really interested to hear what you might think. Sorry to put this on you, but like, how would you crowbar it in and where would you contextualize Michael Mann?
Oh, that's such a great question. I'm familiar with your double feature question because I have listened to some episodes of the show. And I would say I'm going to do like a three-part answer. So one is I'm going to cheat and talk about a pairing that I do to sort of like offer a way for taking seriously the 90s action movie. And it's relevant because one of the films is Speed. So a film that I always teach is Notorious, Hitchcock's Notorious. And then the next film I teach for Intro to Film Analysis is Speed. And it's to think about the language of classical Hollywood cinema as a storytelling form in a more contemporary sense. And then we do Run Lola Run to sort of give a like quote unquote art cinema sense of doing basically the exact same plot.
Yes.
Put together a little bit differently. So that's like a way that I would try to think about like form and industry together. With something like Miami Vice, I'd be so tempted to teach it in terms of genre and specifically melodrama.
Yes.
and maybe to do it opposite, like a quote unquote woman's picture, to give a sense of contrast. So maybe All That Heaven Allows and Miami Vice, which to me would be perfect because they're both like perfect films. but just in terms of like what my original answer was going to be, just thinking about doing the pod, I would say a movie that I think about when I think about this film is Drive, and how that is also such a vibes-based film, such a kind of like music video-esque film in terms of how much it embraces like soundtrack, color palette, and moments that are sort of stretched for aesthetic impact beyond their immediate utility in terms of serving the narrative. And that's something I think Mann just does in a mesmerizing way when he sort of pauses for just stylistic contemplation, basically, and kind of like showing off, but not showing off for showing off sake, which is what I would think Nicholas Winding Refn does most of the time. But somehow for me in Drive, like his pitch was a little bit more perfect. And I think the two movies would play well together.
All That That's Heaven Allows. Good, yeah. All That Heaven Allows. Like the Drive is, yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that. Katie, please, you go.
No, I just, I that's not something anyone has brought up, and I love that, but I also just really want to watch the Notorious Speed Run Lola Run class. I am obsessed with Speed.
We're available to audit.
We can always go off on Speed. Speed is one of my all-time favorite films. So
great, yeah, great, same. Great movie. And friend of the show, guys, live plug, friend of the show, Chris Tapley, is doing a show right now at an oral history of Speed, including interviews from everyone in the crew and the cast.
Wow.
And lots of critics. Katie Walsh, I believe, is coming up on an episode very soon. I've gotten to hear some episodes into the future because Chris and I have been talking about it. He's a friend, so I've been listening. And it's really great. And no, you'll never hear a single word other than praise for me and that beautiful movie and its beautiful director, Jan de Bont.
Wait, I was just going to say, Veronica, also, like, I taught a class, and on the last day, it was a criticism class, but on the last day, I said, okay, we're just going to have fun. And I said, and the kids have been talking about Keanu Reeves all semester because they had John Wick, I think two had just come out. Maybe it was three. I can't remember. It was one of those. And I'm like, do you guys need to watch Speed? And they had never seen it, or they were like, my dad watches it.
Right. Which made 1994 is like so long ago for them.
I know. And so on the last day of class, I like had pizza and cookies, and I made them watch Speed. I was like, I am shaping young minds. So I just, you are shaping young minds.
Lord's work. Totally.
They went off on a huge Keanu thing. They all became obsessed with Keanu. So it was really fun. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. You're shaping young minds as well.
I was just going to say, I don't know that my students are like as appreciative, or I think there's something where they're like amused by my enthusiasm for the film, which they find to be puzzling, but they don't necessarily share it. I'm just hoping that when they like get a little bit older and they, you know, lose love for the first time, they can appreciate the stakes.
Brown kids. Is it the brown kids situation? They're like trying too hard to be cool.
They're very French New Wave. Yeah.
They're like semantics, semiotics.
I love them though.
Of course we love them.
Of course. But I did love, I had a great teacher who was obsessed with James Cameron's The Terminator. Not Terminator 2.
Yeah.
The Terminator. And I did a sci-fi class when I was doing film studies at university. And I remember being so relieved. And what was weird is that like, that was early 2000s that I was in class, and all of us had a strong familiarity and were actually very curious, because he was a bit of a curator himself, that he could be a person who was so obsessed with that specific movie, because we've been so accustomed to being like, you know, Hollywood is trash, fine, international cinema, duh. But I found, I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, and I'm actually going to take some photos and put it up on our Discord for our fans to check out. I found this book. It's called Cinema Now. It's a Tashin collection book. It's multilingual. And what's so funny is it's like Movies Now, and it goes through different directors. And it is such a curious thing, because it's got like
Bong Joon-ho, and it's got like Craig Brewer, who did Hustle and Flow, and it's got all these things. And one of the big like centerpiece movies that it covers is Miami Vice. So it like literally is talking about like the directors of a very specific point in time. This is like,
oh,
this shot, Katie. I
mean, oh, wow.
This is a test shot. I'm going to take a photo. I'll put it on socials after we talk to Veronica. This is a test photo from Michael Mann when he took Gong Li and Colin Farrell to Havana. I've never seen it before seeing it.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And it's this is the stuff like in this book. I just saw it. I'm a book thrift store, secondhand bookshop, ridiculous purveyor. And so I went in and I was flicking through Cinema Now. Huh, that's interesting. Let's check that out. And it's like Nolan's The Prestige, Old Boy, Miami Vice. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I'm like, oh, I'm in. So it's just really interesting because like I feel like now that specific point in time, which a lot of people might have been thinking that post 9/11, especially for Hollywood, you know, the international burgeoning cinema all at the time kind of like gets dismissed because it's not in that weird 10 to 12 year period that is so prevalent on streaming services. But this is like a lovely mix. It has been so wonderful talking to you. Aww. We would love to do it again.
Yeah, we have to do it again. Sorry. I actually have to jump to go on the speed podcast.
So this is a bit of bad timing because Veronica is someone like that I've been listening to on Brightwall and reading on Brightwall for a long time and have mutual friends. And, you know, I first heard Veronica, I'd read her many times before, but I first heard her talking to our very horny friend, Travis Woods, a huge part of One Heat Minute Productions.
Travis catching a stray.
No, always Travis catching strays from us. Loving strays, like little Cupid.
They're little hearts. Little heart shoot arrows out of us.
At him.
I can see it.
So all the love in the world. But I listen and one of the things I thought at the time, I was like, man, like she's really smart. She's whip smart and someone who could actually tolerate Travis's level of horniness and process it for us. It was really fantastic. So it's been wonderful talking to you and thank you so much for your time. Some absolute fire. We're going to just run it back. We'll dive more into some Modern Man. We'll blow out into Collateral because I know that, you know, for fans of this show, they know how much Katie loves Collateral. We know that you love it and we'll sort of dive into some LA Man as well. But it's been such a treat talking to you and thank you for the fire.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is great.
Veronica.
And so the Bright Wall Dark Room podcast, we'll make sure it's all linked in the show notes. You can find it. And go subscribe, go listen. They're friends. We love them. They're like our neighbors who we're, they're a sister site of love.
Yes.
So all love to the team over there. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God. What an honor. Thank you for having me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.